13. 2 Corinthians 13. Started on this last week. We didn't get finished, so we'll try to finish up today. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So what are the three things that we saw there in verse 14? All right, good. So we see a reference to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of them. And we talked a little bit last week about the Trinity. Some of the unique characteristics about them. We said that they were inseparable one from another. We said they all have the same nature, the same character, and yet each of them are unique in some way because they have a specific identity, things that are specific to each of them. And yet they're always present one with another. And I've been reading a book by John Piper here the last, started a week or so ago. Read a little bit at night before I go to bed. And just the things that are pleasing to God, or what pleasures God, and, the pleasure that he finds in the Son was the, kind of the first chapter, and just how much God finds enjoyment in his own Son. And then the second chapter, as I've been reading, it's, that he finds pleasure in himself. And, for us to think about that, what would come to your mind if you were to say, or if you heard me say, I found pleasure in myself? Pride, right? Pride, or another a V word for kind of the same for what? Vanity, yeah. You would think, he's so vain. What vanity to look in the mirror and find pleasure in yourself or whatever. And yet for God, it's, for us, it is sin. But for God, it's not, because, all of that is wrapped up in him. And so he can find pleasure in his Son and in himself, and then also in the Holy Spirit. We see in Genesis 1, how that the Spirit was present when we were created. And we kind of, I think, left off with, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? What does that mean to you, that you are created in the image of God?
It's triune in nature, so there's a physical component. I'm a physical person. There's a social component, meaning, I have to interact with other folks, and there's an ethical component as well.
Okay. So we just as God is a Trinity, the just as the Trinity is three individual, unique beings, we are created as well to have that physical, emotional, and social interaction, the three different things that are needed in our lives.
Same thing with the Trinity, it's a person and a society.
Okay. Right, and it's a very... And within themselves, it's a very close society, and yet they find perfect fellowship within the three. And it's so, again, it's so hard for us to fathom or understand that concept. How that they can have perfect enjoyment and fulfillment within them, and really not need anything else, and yet they chose to create mankind. Within that. So what else does it mean to be created in the image of God? We can have lots of points here. Yes, Chris.
I've been studying for the last couple of weeks a Bible study that I do by myself that's in a book, and it's called Creating Me a Heart of Wisdom. And one of the chapters was, we need community for wisdom. And it started out by saying that our God is a community, kind of like he was saying, a society, that there's three of them, and they all help each other, they all help us, and they're intertwined. And to me, this is a very precious doctrine, because when I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses, they were taught that Jesus was not God. And, that's kind of easy to understand. There's one, two, three, they're each separate. But then again, when you think about really what God has accomplished and what God did, and we have all of these scriptures that point to that, you know, have to understand exactly how this works, how we're fully dependent, how, you know, it all works. Because we don't know exactly how the world was created. We don't know that, we know a lot of things that were in the Bible, you know, happened. But yet we believe that's what our faith is. And by relying on the community or the Trinity, we can grow in wisdom in our everyday lives and pleasing Him.
All righty, good. So we're believing in the fact that God is triune and the community that He produces.
We have emotions.
Okay, good. We have emotions.
The ability to make decisions.
And the ability to make decisions. Good. You know, that ability to make, you know, we have choices and we make choices. We make decisions. We have emotion. Okay. Right.
There's got to be ethics.
There has to be a.
There's ethics to it.
Ethics to it. Okay.
That's what separates us, in my opinion, from the animals.
Okay.
The
beasts. Right.
So they have to eat. I still think they have knowledge. I still think they have emotion and will. But they don't have ethics.
Okay.
Even for killing whatever.
Right.
Right.
So the moral ethics.
Right.
Kind of. In that. Yep, Chris.
One of the things that I've seen over the years is, people always say, I kind of look like this parent or that parent. It's a sense of belonging that you desire.
All right. All right, so a sense of belonging. Okay, good. What else? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? What other abilities do we have because we are created in their image?
Well, we can glorify things.
All right, we can, okay.
We can take something and make it more aesthetically pleasing.
Okay.
It's what your wife does to the house.
Yes, very much so.
Your wife is glory to
me. Right. All right.
Communication.
Communication. All right, the ability to glorify things. What directive was given to Adam that we are still to fulfill? Right. You know, we are to have dominion and authority over creation, just as, you know, and we, you know, God is in control and God is supreme. God is sovereign. However, you know, all of that. And yet He has taken that, His sovereignty and His power, and delegated it to us. And, you know, said, I want you now to have dominion. I want you to have authority over this creation and to rule it. And we're doing that. And what we need to remember is that we're doing that in His likeness. You know, it's not just like the general said, do this. And so I'm doing it because, you know, God wants us to learn a little bit more of what it's like to be what it is that we are, that, you know, how we have been created in His image. Okay. Yes. So some training ground for us to one day be in His presence and to learn as much as we can while we're here some of these things. Okay. We also have the ability to solve problems, right? You know, and that's, again, imparted to us by God, the ability to know things and remember them. So of all of these things, these abilities, these ways in which we have been created and made in God's image. And, you know, God gives us the ability to help others and to teach, you know, and some have a greater ability to teach than others. But all of us have some, all of us can teach in some way or another. You know, whether it's just one-on-one or large groups or whatever. But there is the ability to teach and to call to remembrance, you know, different experiences or different things that maybe have happened in your life that you can share with others. You know, some people, again, are better at, you know, debating or giving, you know, not an argument, like a heated argument, but getting in a discussion where you can actually strive to persuade someone to your belief and to the gospel. You know, and that's part of you know, what we see even in the New Testament. What did Paul do in Athens? I believe it was Athens, wasn't it? All right, what was it he actually said there? You know, when he spoke on Mars Hill.
He talked about, you have all these other gods that are named, but you have one sitting off to the side and says unknown.
Right. You know, he brought up to them this one unknown God that they were ignorantly worshiping and serving. And then it said for several days after that, he debated with them back and forth and discussed with them for several days this unknown God and their beliefs, their way of worship. And so, you know, and some are better at that than others. You know, those of you, anybody ever on a debate team in high school or college? All right, Kathy, Beth, you were? I didn't know that. One time. All right. She failed and they kicked her off. All right. I'm just kidding. But, you know, God has created us with the full capacity to be people, you know, and to do that, kind of back to that idea of community and society and all of that. But we have the specific ability to know God and to sense God at work within us and then to be able to respond to him. When does that normally happen?
When you least expect it.
When
we know God.
Mm-hmm. Or to sense God at work in us and to respond to him.
You know, unbelievers suppress the truth and unrighteousness. I mean, it's a moral issue. It's not an intellectual issue. It's forbidding them from believing. It's just, I do not believe.
Right.
It's a moral issue.
Okay. So, to the knowing God part. But as a Christian, are there times that maybe you feel as though you're closer to God? Maybe that's a better word to use instead of knowing God, but closer to God.
I think there's that term close because it's testing, right? I'm not maintaining status quo on the walk I should be.
Right.
I should be getting sanctified as I go.
Yep.
The trials and the testing gets more advanced in how you respond to it.
Right.
It's not always black and white. It may be the lesser of two evils.
Right. All right, Chris?
Plus, we also have free will. We have the ability to accept our Lord as our Savior, or we have the free will to not. And Jesus said that, too, that you can tell who belongs to him and who doesn't, because to some he said, you are from your father, the devil. So it shows that other people have deliberately chosen not to follow him.
Okay. How many of you feel closer to God or have a sense of him working in you, you know, when you are having your quiet time with him? All right. Three people. All right. Good. All right. But those are the moments often, or, you know, I remember it was the last couple of weeks somewhere along the line. We talked about this. Maybe it was at I forget where it was. But, you know, how many of you have ever had an encounter with someone where, you know, they start talking to you and really in your mind you're thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to say. You're just totally drawing a blank, and then they finish talking and words just start coming out of your mouth. And then afterwards you're just like, I don't even know where that came from, kind of thing. Like, you know, you just have no, and then you're just going, thank you, God, Holy Spirit, because I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. And I don't know how I didn't know what to say to help them or how to encourage them or whatever. But the Holy Spirit gave you words to say and to do that. In a moment like that, you feel like God's working in you. And you realize, man, this Holy Spirit, this God thing is real. You know, and he's done something very special at that moment. And then it should prompt you to respond to him and to, you know, give thanks and to worship him for that. So the Holy Spirit's role, one of the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity, is to kind of energize or empower us. You know, I think we said last week, we brought up, I think Troy, you might have, that God provided or that God planned our salvation. Christ provided it, and then the Holy Spirit does this performing or perfecting work within us. And by that we mean that he is empowering us and giving us the energy to work out our salvation. You know, we're told in, forget which book it is now, but he says, "Work." Is it James? Work out your own salvation, or is that Hebrews? Hebrews. Okay, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, so the writer there, you know, and we struggle with that sometimes. Like, okay, so do I have to work for my salvation? What? No, but what the writer is saying is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're working out the salvation that's been begun in us. You know, and that God is doing that work, and that through, you know, as Pastor said this morning, through continually believing in the present tense, you know, that is the proof. That is the what gives us confidence that we are in Christ. You know, so the Holy Spirit can help to cause us to act or to, you know, compel behavior, so to speak, not where, you know, we become robots and he makes us do something, but he strongly urges us. You know, and again, how many of you have been there? You know, you have a choice to make, a decision, and you know, you're kind of weighing it over in your mind, and you have a strong urging or a compulsion, you know, to do one or the other. You know, and again, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. And so then, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit is also trying to conform us to the image of Christ, you know, to produce qualities within us that match the character and the nature and the wonder of God. And so these are the things that the Holy Spirit is doing and striving to do within us. You know, the Holy Spirit, again, as we try to separate this and make it a little unique and see the uniqueness there, you know, the Holy Spirit is not the creator, but he was present at creation. So in essence, there would be no creation without him, because again, he's part of that Trinity. You know, he's not the Father. He's not God Almighty. But there's no expression of the Father without him. We wouldn't know that without him. Or we wouldn't know the conviction about God's will apart from the Holy Spirit. And so trying to, in a very poor manner, try to separate them and yet realize they're still together. You know, the Spirit's not the Father, but we would fail in our understanding of a need for relationship, or the need that we have to have a relationship with the Father if it weren't for the Spirit. So the Spirit kind of brings that within us and brings about that desire within us. You know, we would say that the Spirit obviously is not the Son, but there's no awareness of sin. There's no coming to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior apart from the Holy Spirit. Because again, what is the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. The Holy Spirit is the one that will reveal that truth to us and draw us to the Father, and then gives us the grace and faith to believe. You know, so again, he's not Jesus, but did Jesus ever do anything apart from the Holy Spirit's empowerment? No. You know, as we went through the book of John over and over again, we saw, you know, he was doing the will of the Father and the power of the Spirit. And he lived within that power. And so the Holy Spirit is inseparable from Christ and inseparable from God the Father. So again, three unique characteristics, or three unique persons. But again, within, they're so tied together. You know, we can't separate them. And we fail at really getting a good illustration of trying to describe them, because all of our illustrations fail in light of the complexity of the Trinity. Any closing comments? Any closing thoughts this morning? All righty. Chris, would you close us in prayer?
to seek your word and just delve into a good study time for us. And